Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the weekly podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, and I want to thank you for joining us this week. Another exciting week of athletics, both in the past as well as what we're looking forward to this coming weekend and into the week. I'm joined once again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer. And let me first of all give a special shout out to James. This week we had a women's volleyball match at home, and he worked feverishly throughout the day to get the webcasting done and wasn't able to do that. So first of all, our apologies to those of you who wanted to watch it and couldn't do it. We got a very nice note from a parent of a Washington Lee student athlete who thanked James for sending updates throughout the match. So if you can figure he's trying to do the stats plus send updates a little bit about their daughter. Thanks, James, for doing that. Good customer service piece there. And hopefully give us an update. Are we okay with the webcasting now, or where are we at with that?
We are okay with the webcasting as far as everyone else is concerned. I had a computer issue, and IS is trying to figure that out, but they've given me another one that I know works. It actually worked for like the third game. Tuesday night is too late to really let people know about it. But so I know what we have works now, and whenever we transition to my other computer, it will work then. We also had a problem with live stats, which totally blew my mind. I don't know what went wrong. So I'll just get back in the gym before the game and make sure it works before Friday night. But yes, the video webcast should be up and rolling, which is great because we got a lot going on in the gym this weekend.
Right. And we also are working on the possibility, I'll say possibility only, of doing the outdoor sports as well. We were able to hook a temporary wire up last year when we hosted the field hockey and men's soccer ODAC quarter and semifinal. We did those, and we're trying to do that on a weekly basis now for each of the home games. So we're working on it. I'm not going to promise anything, but hopefully in another week I'll be able to give you folks an answer of being able to see our home soccer matches as well. So we did have a busy week. I think the emphasis today we're going to focus on is we're getting about ready to go into ODAC play.
Yeah.
And so the conference, non-conference, for the most part, there's still a couple teams that will play non-conference. But talk a little bit about opening up ODAC for the different schools, different teams, and where they're starting at this weekend with ODAC play.
Well, sure. Men's soccer has their ODAC opener on Saturday at Hampton Sydney, and I think that alone should be a really intriguing matchup. Our guys went 2-3-1 in their, quote, pre-conference play, and they'll have a couple interspersed throughout the year. But 2-3-1 is pretty respectable for a team that replaced so many people. And this game, I think their game against Hampton Sydney on Saturday is a big tell for our soccer men this year. Sydney also picked somewhere, you know, in the middle of the pack for the conference, and I think getting a win against the Hampton Sydneys of the conference is very important for our soccer men to, you know, fight their way up. You know, I think as we look at, you know, the top one or two teams in the conference, especially this time of year, is going to be a tall order for our guys. But if they can fight to, you know, get into that fourth or third spot in the conference standings, host a first-round game in the ODAC tournament, I think that's the target. And to do that, a game like this weekend on the road at Hampton Sydney, very, very important for our guys.
No, you're right. Roger's done a nice job of getting the guys prepared. He's been playing a lot of players, going to probably whittle that down a little bit. A lot of the freshmen are understanding where they fall in the place of that, and so he's getting a pretty good rotation. Hopefully got a few of the Knicks out. And I think they're ready to enter into conference play. And now the non-conference contest throughout the year will just be interspersed as a time to take a break for some of the other guys and put some others in. So yeah, big outing for them. How about the others?
Women's soccer actually had their ODAC opener at Bridgewater earlier this week, took a loss to the Eagles, and they stepped back out of conference play this weekend, which is good timing because the women really have a couple of injuries and they don't have a huge roster, so it's good for them to get a chance. They'll travel to Washington, D.C. this weekend to take on Trinity University, and it's a good time for them to actually get back out of conference play, hopefully get healed up a little bit. They'll jump back into conference play next week. Field hockey, still a couple more non-conference games. They're at, I believe, St. Mary's of Maryland this weekend. And then next week, they're into it big time, Sweetbriar, Lynchburg, and they'll jump in pretty hardcore the following week. Women's volleyball, they already were in. They played host to Washington and Lee earlier this week. Home opener, ODAC opener, all rolled into one. And Washington and Lee, I mean, that's a tough task for a team to start out with. The Generals are first in a career, I guess you could, program history, I guess you could say, of ODAC titles in women's volleyball. I think it was like 12 or something. that they've won over the last couple of decades. And that's a very powerful program. So tough way for women to start out, but they'll have a very exciting weekend this weekend. Mm-hmm. Talking about men's soccer needing some of these, you know, must-win games against middle-of-the-pack teams, that's what women's volleyball is getting this weekend. We get Guilford Friday night at 7, and then Saturday it's a tri-match, but we start things out with the conference game, take on Emory and Henry Saturday morning at 11, Southern Virginia, the non-conference game at 3 o'clock on Saturday. But those games against the Guilfords and Emory and Henrys of the world is very important for our volleyball women as they try to scratch their way back into the ODAC Conference tournament.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, one of the groups that doesn't get to play, quote, conference play, and that is the cross-country teams.
Right.
And that's probably been one of the highlights when you talk about success. Again, I hope everyone remembers that it's all about playing the game and the experiences each kid is having. Certainly, we like to win and want to recognize achievement for sure. And we'll always do that on this broadcast. But the cross-country team, especially the women's side, is doing very well. They won't get into conference play, but talk a little bit about their regional ranking that they got, which is the first time in many years here.
Yeah, this past week, the women were slotted all the way up to 9th in the South-Southeast region, which covers schools from Virginia down to the edge of Texas, I think, and there's a ton of schools in there. I have no clue when the last time we were ranked or if we've ever been ranked in the region before. So that's very cool for them to be 9th. They were picked 7th in the ODAC preseason poll in the conference. So that's even a smaller pool of teams. And now they're 9th in the region. That's very impressive for the women behind only two conference teams, Bridgewater and Washington and Lee. And they actually beat Bridgewater at the ODAC preview meet. The Eagles have their own injury issues, but very, very impressive for women's cross country. And they're going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. Yeah, you've mentioned we won't really see them always against conference teams as they go to different places, but the team is very deep, very young this year. We have one or two transfers that are upperclassmen, but a lot of freshmen came in, and the talent pool is young. And so it's a lot of fun to see what happens with these women as they get in the regional
rankings. They probably have one of the best balances because Hannah Chapel Dick has already proved she's a first-class quality runner by winning a couple of meets. Mm-hmm. But then, as your article mentioned from last week up in Lebanon Valley, Invitational, I believe it was the pack that did it, and they were all lumped together, 6 through 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that combination is certainly going to do them well. I checked in with Coach Lukowitz the other day and made sure they weren't peaking too early. And he said, no, he didn't think so. He just has really been able to recruit some quality runners right off the start.
Well,
and the men are coming through too.
That's what he had said, that Hannah had an off race. She finished 10th, I think, and they win the team title. And that's the team talent. And the men, I think they had some injury issues last week as well. And both cross country teams are off this week. Something else that's starting up this week, very excited about, the men's golf team has their first tournament playing, hosted by Bridgewater. The tournament is this Sunday and Monday, at Lakeview. Here in town, and so it's very fun to see them get a chance to get on out in the links. They did not start practice in August like our other pure fall sports did, so they haven't had as long to practice. But I'm working on the ODAC or the season preview for men's golf. Should be up on the website very shortly, and it's a lot of fun to see this golf program get off its feet. The women will start up in another week or two.
Yeah, that's, again, it'll be much like cross country. You play in different individual or invitational tournaments, and many times there will be. I looked at the list the other day, and there's probably at least 6 or 7 ODAC schools that are going to be at the Bridgewater tournament. But tournament play is a lot different. And yes, it is a spring sport. So there's really only what would be called a non-traditional season in the fall. So I don't think there's hardly any golf teams that start prior to the start of school. So, but we try to jump off because you never know when the weather is going to go. So they're going to go in about 2 tournaments here, one in Downhampton, Sydney later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, history made this weekend when they kick off and start with the golf program. And so we're excited about that. While we're talking about golf, I mentioned one other item that you should have gotten if you're on our mailing list to receive the information about the Paul R. Yoder Senior Golf Classic, sponsored by the Loyal Royals, comes to you every year as a part of homecoming. This year it is on Friday, October the 12th. It is at Heritage Oaks, which is the city-owned golf course here and our home course. And Our special guest will be Eric Kratz, catcher of the Philadelphia Phillies. He will also be inducted in the Hall of Honor. So if you would want any information, if you didn't get information about either sponsoring or playing in the Golf Classic, please make sure you contact our office, and we'll make sure you get that. Once again, that's Friday, October the 12th, with 8 o'clock and 1 o'clock tee times. And Eric Kratz will be our special guest, probably bringing along some Philly paraphernalia. We'll also have some golf shirts, EMU golf shirts out there. Cool. For sale, and it will be a great time for you to get to know the golf team as well. So we're looking forward to that in a very big way, and the excitement that goes on. James, anything else coming up that we need to mention at all in terms of the play? Have we forgotten anybody or where things are at?
I feel like we've covered everyone pretty well. I like that.
We may have gotten everyone. Once again, the non-traditional seasons are underway for baseball and softball, and so they're looking to see theirs. They're going to have alumni games, at least the baseball team is. One of the things I wanted to mention just in closing here is this idea about one of the things that I heard. We're already starting, as I meet with the coaches each week, we're already starting to talk a little bit about recruiting for next year. It never stops. You start all over again. So, for instance, I saw this morning's paper, big article about a big meet here locally, cross country. So I got checking with a coach. Were you there to see these kids or these kids you're working on? Mm-hmm. And I thought about also when I talked to the women's soccer coach, their game against Bridgewater this past week. Didn't turn out real well for them, and I know one of the frustrating parts for her coach was the fact that quite a number of those players that were there, the freshmen anyway, were kids that we had really recruited hard and she had recruited hard, and for a variety of reasons they chose not to come here, which is probably one of the really, really tough parts that a coach has to deal with in recruiting. I say it because of the fact that we are continuing to study who it is that we should be going after. Who can we get enrolled here? My guess would be most of the kids who chose Bridgewater over us were probably, which I've heard it in other sports too, a little bit on the financial means. And so as a niche institution, we have this ongoing challenge about, yeah, you don't have to be Mennonite to come here. You don't have to be Christian to come here. But clearly that's so much a part of who we are that you have to be open to it and at least be able to exist in that environment. And some kids simply choose not to do that. So by doing that and by being unapologetic about who we are as Christians, as an institution, as well as coaching staff, that right away begins to narrow the pool. And then you add the financial packages to it, and then you really get another hurdle. And even if the financial packages have come close, and even though it's a Christian kid looking for a Christian environment, sometimes the finances override. So I say it because it's another challenge we're facing, and we're trying to do a little bit more research on who is it that we can go after and how do we find that? Because I'm still committed to this idea that a niche type institution like EMU can maintain their Christian values, their Anabaptist principles, the things they hold dearly, that we hold dearly, and still run a successful athletic program. But it does have a lot to do with the recruitment process and who it is that we can get here, which also brings into mind our listeners, because now's the time to start encouraging kids that you know in your home community that EMU is a great place. So that's one of the things we're starting to work at. We just got the season started and we're already starting. I got a note from the admissions office today that within the next 2 weeks, they're going to send out a special flyer that's been made just for athletics that's going to all the kids who have been flagged in the system as potential athletes here for 2013. It's got Eric Kratz on the front of it. It's got a picture of all the rest of the sports in here. So once again, the recruiting process is starting. We need your help out there. And I wanted to give you a little bit of a background as to how we're going about it doing. So we're meeting with Luke Hartman, Michelle Hensley, and Stephanie Schaefer, admissions, financial aid, and enrollment office, to sort of look at how it is that we go about doing this, because that clearly is one of the frustrations that we find, is that when we play against somebody who we really recruited hard and express a lot of interest in coming, and then for a variety of reasons decide not to. So I thought about that in particular when I met with Sue following her game, and something that I think is a highlight that we have to keep looking at. So those are some of the things that have been happening here at EMU, and we're looking forward to another strong week of involvement. Fellowship of Christian Athletes is getting started this week, and we had a great meeting with them the first time. Our six-week workshop for first-year athletes is going very well. Jason Lichty's doing a great job of starting to relate to some of the kids. And so Mike Martin's doing a great job with strength and conditioning. So, again, there's just an awful lot happening, and we're very excited about everything that is going on. Thanks once again for joining. We hope that you will tune in again next week. And between now and then, I invite you to make it a great week.